Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Now, I don't need to tell you this, but our show, Magma, is available at sospresents.com. Now, you already know this, but if you feel like supporting these guys who, in a few months, will not have any work, sospresents.com. And you'll find Magma in there. And it's a good show. It's an engineering presentation. But mostly it's just jokes. That's Magma.
Oh, yeah.
Hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show where we come up with five sketch ideas.
Ideas.
Andy.
And I'm Alistair George Williams from Virtual. It just occurred to me that during these long distance ones that we do, my attempt to time the five and the sketch ideas at the same time with yours is probably a real mess, and I haven't been going back and listening to them.
Well, I mean, I don't have to go back and listen to them, Alistair, because I can hear it as it happens over the phone. And it's a real mess. I mean, unless you're trying to think ahead and, like, get it wrong in the hope that you'll be compensating for, you know, satellite delay.
Sure, but you're hearing it extra late because of you're getting that double delay.
That double delay. Right, because I have to say mine, you have to hear it, and you have to respond, and then I hear what you've said. But we're recording separately, and so it should only be a single delay between. Is that right? Is that what you're thinking?
I think so. I think it should be just a single delay. Mm.
Do you think that if
you're, do you think it's like that's the thing is that when we record this thing, you get the worst experience of this whole thing. The users get the middle worst experience, and I get it live.
Well, hang on. You get your part of it live. I mean,
yeah. Well, to me, that's the show, baby.
But it's good to know that the audience is actually getting a better experience than either of us, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Like, because we both think this is terrible, but
if you take into account our self-hatred, then they're getting a way better experience. But that's assuming that they are not coming here and hate listening to this.
God, it'll be great when we can somehow plug something into our hormonal endocrine system or whatever it is. And we'll be able to record the emotional experience of recording the show and lay that down as sort of a third track on the stereo export of the thing. And then, you know, your Apple headphones, out of the little bit that has the volume control, there'll be a third little plug that comes out. You know, the two headphone earbuds will go up. And then there'll be a third one that you just sort of jam into a hole in your rib cage, and you'll be able to feel it in your heart.
Or you could plug it into one of those ones, the brain pig ones that Elon's building.
Yes, and a pig could feel it for you. That way you don't have to.
A pig. Yeah, and you could feel how uncomfortable I feel during the 200th episode when Andy goes to the bathroom and I have to try to come up with an idea, and I go... And then I just go, maybe I don't come up with any ideas.
No, but you were there with, you had Nick Mason with you, didn't you?
Oh, I really made Nick struggle then. I went, all right, what is it, upside down helicopter? Is that an idea?
You realize that's not how we ever come up with any of the ideas on this show. Like
with Nick, I have a different dynamic. That's our show.
It only happens once every 200 episodes for, you know, 3 minutes. It's like the alignment of various planets. When the winter solstice lines up exactly with American Independence Day, that's when you record an episode of the podcast.
Do you think that there's ever like one of those, you know, like one of those things that like ancient cultures did where they would like build a building so that the light would line up in a particular way on a particular date, things like that. But there's anything like that with like shining it through your mouth and out your anus? Do you think there's a date in which in a place you could stand where that would work?
I mean, there could be a guy who just lies there at all times with his mouth open and his butt open, I guess, as well. And on very rare occasions you can look. I mean, would he have to erect small mirrors in his digestive system to bounce the light around corners?
Well, I think
I imagine there are several.
No, I think what his theory is that the body is a temple.
Yes.
Right?
So you better align it to the
There is a time and a place and a direction that you got to face.
Yep.
Right? And you can figure it out. I guess that's just his assumption that it will work. So then he's got to just find the time. He's got to try all places and all times and all directions.
And
then he could figure it out.
It sounds like it would work to me. I mean, it also sounds like the place probably doesn't matter nearly as much as the time and the direction, right? Like, sure. It feels like for any
place... This is the kind of stuff that he would figure out over time.
Yeah, and direction.
And over direction.
I mean, it feels like a spiritual thing, right? It feels like it's there, up there with, like, yoga. Because I think you would also probably have to contort your body a fair bit. And maybe is that the objective with yoga? That they get themselves so flexible? Because they're constantly saluting the sun and that sort of thing, contorting their bodies. Is the idea to get yourself so flexible that you can turn your internal tract into a straight tube? And then you will be able to have the sun shine straight through and get that UV enema, that full,
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess it makes sense. You know, it feels like the kind of like spiritual thing that you would say that when you're using yoga to learn how to bend, that really what you're trying to learn is how to straighten yourself out.
Oh my God, Alistair, that's the most spiritual thing I've ever heard.
Yeah. And, but what they mean is really literally is that that kilometer and a half of, intestine that you got.
God.
They're just trying to lengthen that out so that it just goes, or just compress it into like a one of those kind of bits of air conditioning duct.
You know,
so that it's kind of rippled like that so that it can just go straight from mouth to anus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you line up your stomach so that both holes are like in a perfect alignment from, you know, your top of your neck to your anus, and then you just basically look straight up at noon, mouth agape, and the sun goes right down through you,
and then it,
like that,
a little sort of beam shoots out onto the ground
and burns an ant.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I mean, there's no reason it would be more focused, I wouldn't think, unless you also place a little sort of lens in your butthole. And why not at this point?
Well, exactly. At this point, you've gone so far.
In your mouth, and a lens in your butthole, and somebody looks through you, and they can see the rings of Saturn.
Yeah, I mean
Galileo's human telescope.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean it makes sense that would be, I mean, you know, metal sort of caging, you know, metal walls were so rare back in those days. You could only really you know, the only thing long enough that you could really use was a human.
I mean, look at it this way. In the absence of it,
there being any trees, you know?
The human body is basically a tube, Alistair. That's what it is. And why should we go make new tubes when man is a tube? Man is naught but a tube. And he just needs straightening out. And
tube.
A tube. Well, tube. I think amongst all of that, there's definitely a sketch idea.
What would you say? It's my body is a...
Your body is a telescope. I view my neighbors. Yeah, I think so. Is there anything in, just when we were talking before about satellite delays, Alistair, do you think that they train at newscaster school, they train their newsreaders to try and predict the end of the other person's sentence and then start speaking earlier to minimize the delay?
I mean, there's a chance that you will have an auto cue with the other person's script on it. So there could be a chance that you are taught to read the auto cue.
Yeah.
And know when the other person will cease reading and like recognize your own name on screen.
And then jump in
when it seems like the right appropriate time and not leave much delay.
Yeah, and then they have to do the same thing. And then do you end up with this kind of like cascading effect where, oh no, you don't. It would just be hell. And you'd go insane and tear out your own eyeballs, which is a thing I'm terrified that I might do.
Yeah, I don't think I'm ever afraid of that. I think I'm more afraid of it hooking on some barbed wire as I walk by, high barbed wire.
That's interesting because that's something that is actually much more likely to happen to me given my life choices and the way I go about things. And yet that doesn't concern
running
me
near
in the least.
High barbed wire instead of jumping over sort of the fences of secured buildings, secure buildings?
Yeah, construction sites, you know, to steal old bits of wood out of a skip or something like that, or abandoned properties to sort of poke around and see what it's like.
Do you go to a lot of abandoned properties still?
Alistair,
I've been
to a couple of abandoned properties recently, Alistair, and I got to tell you, it was really good. It was really good.
You're sort of like the Indiana Jones of useless crap.
Yep. Lara Croft, bin raider. Bin chicken. That's me.
That's good.
Yeah. Tossing through stuff.
So is there a sketch idea in this idea?
No sketch in this idea, Alistair.
How many people live their lives, isn't it? Mm. This is just sort of dumpster diving.
Yeah. Well, okay. Let's. Oh. I mean, this is not politically correct, Alistair, but let's just put it out there, okay? Super sexy, super ripped Lara Croft type hobo. Okay.
Yeah.
Who uses the same kind of back flipping, diving, spinning sort of thing, but instead of priceless artifacts when the planets align in some old temple, it's just chips, half eaten chips from a bin.
Oh, like a cold barbecue chicken.
Cold barbecue chicken. Yeah. There's still a bit of meat on the bone, and she has to fight a rat.
Wings, you know? Yeah. Got to find a rat.
She has to fight a rat.
Oh.
And then find
a rat to sort of make a little burrito or something.
There you go.
Yeah. I mean, that's cool.
I think that's definitely a sketch, Alistair. I'm not saying it's one that we would make. I mean, I don't know that I've got the body for it, I'll be honest. But I
so
do...
sexy. So I'm just writing Lara Croft hobo.
Mm. Bin sifter. You know?
Bin sister.
Yeah. Bloody bin sifter, mate.
You know, actually, recently, my girlfriend, you know, it's like, it's just, you know, because I'm experimenting with new looks, obviously. Mm. And my girlfriend said, well, she's not my girlfriend, wife.
Who is also your wife, or maybe you also have a girlfriend, Al.
No, I don't have a girlfriend.
I don't know.
Right. Hey, I don't have a girlfriend on the side. I have a girlfriend on the front, and she's my wife as well. She's on my front. She started referring to me as looking hobo cute.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah. And then she refers to me as her little homeless person, which is not, you know, that's not appropriate. But you know, it's said in a sense that where nobody's going to hear it. And so obviously it's not insulting to anybody. The only way it would be insulting is if you were to broadcast it, say, to thousands of people.
Well,
then it would cause a problem.
God forbid, Alistair, that ever occur. I mean, and also, you know it's not true because you have a home. She's presumably saying it to you in your home, so you can't be hurt.
Oh, well, I wouldn't be hurt by that, Andy. I don't think that being homeless is a bad thing.
Good. You don't think it's a bad thing? Yeah. Do you? Well,
I think
make a lot of money actually begging. They make like thousands of dollars a day doing that. It's a scam. A lot of them have
apartments. You're willfully misinterpreting me. What I mean is, I don't think that it is a bad thing to be a homeless person. I understand that being homeless is hard and not a good thing, but I don't think that persons should feel bad because they're homeless, even though they feel bad because they're homeless.
it's a tricky, I see what you're trying to do, Alistair, but in a way, like linguistically and socio-politically, it feels like you're trying to align your mouth with your butthole and allow the sun to shine through. You're threading a difficult...
I think it's working, Andy. I think I've burnt the ant of doubt.
Yeah. Okay. Of ambiguity.
Because as I was saying, it's the situation that is bad, not what you are, and it shouldn't be the judgment of it that that you shouldn't feel bad from judgment.
That's right. Because the body might be homeless, but the soul isn't. Because it has a home.
That's right.
The body.
It has the body.
It lives in the body.
That's right. This is actually something when I was talking to my son earlier while he was pooping.
Oh, yeah.
He was asking about... He asked me what things... How do we die? And how does it happen? And he said, what parts die that would kill you? Like, you know, what parts of your body would stop working for you to die? And I said, well, can you guess? And he kind of guessed the heart and the brain.
Oh.
You know? And I was like, those are good. Yeah, that's really good ones. You know, there's a few others. There's vital organs. And then it started making me think. And I was like, well, but, you know, but your hand can die.
Yeah.
And that won't kill the rest of your body.
Yeah.
But I was thinking of the idea of non-vital organs. I mean, no, vital non-organs. So, you know, non-vital organs. But what about vital non-organs? So let's say there was a vital hand.
Yeah.
And you had to keep your hand alive or else you died. Do you think you would do less... Instead of grinding of meat into sausage, out of fear that your hand would get caught in the meat grinder and then you would die?
Well, allow me to ask you this question, Alistair. If your heart was exposed to the elements, do you think that you would use that heart to push meat into a grinder? And I think the answer is no.
Would I have the heart at the end of my... sort of arm that I use to push things in with, would it be at the end of my chest?
It's still,
I very rarely use for pushing meat into anything.
Well, Alistair, and why is that? I mean, I think you've proven my point. You know, your face seems to me would be an equally valid thing to use to push meat into a grinder, right? It's just there.
Well, I do use
poking
my
out
face
from your body.
I do use my face, especially particularly my nose, for touch screens.
Really?
Yeah, because of, you know, often holding onto a child or a baby or something like that. And that both my hands are kind of taken up, but I have my screen there and I can just bring my nose down and instead of do a few, you know, simple moves. I can't type a whole sentence.
No, but you can send, you know, a reply GIF or something like that.
Yeah, I can send a dick pic or something like that, you know. That won't stop me.
Not take a new dick pic, but I can definitely, you know, select one from the album.
Yeah, I could probably use my chin to take a nose pic.
I don't think you could. I think the chin is not useful to you for interacting with a touch screen. I think it's too wide. You wouldn't get the accuracy.
No, I think just that bend area. But also it depends. The button for triggering photos is pretty big.
It's pretty big, but I've seen your chin and it's not that pointy. So I stand by my original statement.
Okay, but I mean, I don't mind making a few mistakes along the way.
That's true. You really want to send that nose pic, so you've got a lot of wives waiting on the other end of that that text line. While we're talking about our boys, do you think that you're good at taking compliments, Alistair?
I think I'm okay at it.
Yeah. Because I was in the shower this morning and Finn came into the bathroom and he looked at me and he said, "That's a big, big penis."
I got one of those once when the kid was younger and you go, "Ah, child, you're so innocent."
Well, I mean, literally my first instinct was to say, no, it's not. But then I was like...
Did you say that?
No, I didn't. I said, thank you, Finn. It was Finn.
In the back of his mind, he's like, oh, people like it when you compliment the size of their penis.
Well, I wanted to say, no, it's not. And then I was like... Well, if I do, my self-deprecating instinct kicked in, and I wanted to downplay the compliment, and so I was going to say no, and then I thought, well, then what does that say in his head? That says to him that, you know, that you shouldn't accept compliments, or that you know, your penis size is even something that you have to consider correcting people on, or you know, that is up for judgment. And so instead I accepted the compliment, which I think does exactly the same thing in reverse and, you know, scars him for life in different ways.
Andy, I think you made the right choice.
Oh, I was on the spot.
Andy, I think you did good. You didn't add any kind of body negativity in there. You showed that you feel, you could make it seem like you feel good about yourself. But I mean, he doesn't necessarily associate having a big penis with the societal pressures of feeling like you should.
Indeed. And he didn't, what he was saying, he wasn't even, like, wasn't in his mind something that could be interpreted as a compliment or otherwise. And so, see, that's why I'm worried that I've made it something in his mind that you can judge or accept somebody on the basis of.
But you could, but look, listen, my kid just the other day, yesterday, I said, I thought you liked this pea and ham soup that I made.
Mm.
And he said, I said that yesterday because I didn't want to make you feel bad. Right? And so he already knows the societal pressures. So there's a chance.
He's already ruined. He's already way older than us.
So you can see that there's a chance that your son, through watching TV, has picked up on societal pressures that to have big body parts is good, right? You know, and so he may have already known it, and he was trying to lift you up a little bit. He might have thought you were seeming a bit down today.
And then it'll come up in a couple of days' time for some reason, and he'll say, "Dad, I didn't really think it was big.
I just thought you needed a bit of a lift today, that day."
And then the next thing he said was, "You are doing lots of wheeze." And I was like, I'm not, that's just the way the water flows over the body. Even if I had been that, I would have stopped when you came in. Because
oh no, my kid on numerous occasions, like if we go to the pool and then we have to go in the same cubicle and pee, he'll just be like, "I'm gonna watch this while you're peeing," and he just needs to see it come out.
Yeah, well, that's just, you know, fluid dynamics. That's just, you know, we're all interested in the intricacies of laminar flow.
So the thing that you're trying to stop is for them to. It's not okay to pee in the shower. Is what the lesson you're trying to teach him?
I don't even necessarily think that's an important lesson. I just felt I needed to correct the record on this occasion.
Sure, yeah, it's okay. And I'm not, even though I think that it's okay.
I mean, I don't want you philosophically, there's nothing wrong with it.
A drain is a drain.
Mm-hmm.
But just understand that many people do find it unhygienic.
Mate, any strain's a drain. That's what I say.
Any strain is a drain.
That's no good. Any drain's a drain. There you go. That's a good one. That one rhymes as well. You can use
any drain's a drain. That's good. Yeah. Mm. So what do you think about vital hand?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's quite there yet, Alistair, and I realize that's a very Alistair thing to say, but like in what way? I mean, you could have had your heart replaced with sort of one of those pumps that you use on a sort of a mid-sized speedboat to pump the fuel from the jerry can into the outboard motor before the fuel pump kicks in, right? Mm-hmm. But and then, you know, you have that in your hand, so you've got to basically squeeze that. Something that's basically like what you would have as a stress relief ball, but now it's almost the opposite because it's plugged directly into your circulatory system and you need it to survive.
Right. So, but then how do you sleep?
This is why you need a loved one, so that they can stay awake. And pump while one of you sleeps.
I've talked about that on stage.
Really?
About how your heart pumps automatically. But imagine if it didn't and you would have to like consciously keep pumping it and you would forget, right?
Mm.
But then that would make sense why we pair up. That would make like almost more sense. Because then you would stay up and, you know, maybe pump their heart for them or whatever. I can't remember how I did it. That doesn't make sense to me now, but maybe they would CPR you while you sleep.
Well, it's incredible that I obviously have heard you do that on stage and then just repeated it back to you like it was my own idea. Or
you haven't seen me perform on stage for a long time other than the show that we've done together.
No, I really haven't. No, it's one of my greatest regrets.
But I do run every single idea that I have by you. So there's a chance that it could have got in that way. Mm. Okay, so look, there's that idea. But wait, so just a vital hand. You just couldn't have just like a no reason vital hand, I guess. You would have to have a reason.
Well, I mean, this is almost like Samson and his hair, you know? Feels like he had vital hair. That
right. What would happen to him? So what is this the guy? He had seven locks?
I don't know how many locks he had. I just know that he was incredibly strong. And,
is he from the Bible?
Yeah, and he's a biblical chap. And then all his hair was cut off and he lost all his mojo.
I think that might be the basis for the why Rastafarians have big dreadlocks.
Really?
It has to do with Samson and his locks of hair.
Really? Oh, very interesting.
I think so. Yeah. So he had vital hair, but he died if you cut it, or did he...
I think he just became vulnerable, and then he may have been killed as a result. I don't know. I don't know the details.
It's like getting one of those diseases where disease doesn't kill you, but it makes you vulnerable to like a cold or something. Maybe.
One of those diseases.
One of those ones. You know those ones?
Yeah, I know. I know. I know what you're talking about. And yeah, it's not ideal. A vital hand, vital hand. I want it to be something, Alistair. Vital finger, vital toe, vital toenail.
I guess
What it would be like if there, you know, if we didn't have to trim just because fingernails are all very well, they're just a bit that just grows on the top of your finger. But what if it was your whole finger that grew, and you had to keep clipping it off? You know, it would grow an extra segment, like a bit of bamboo, an extra knuckle on the end, and you have to get some secateurs and then chop it off at the knuckle.
I mean, look, Andy, it's instantly there, that sketch idea. And it's just a couple.
Yeah.
Sitting and watching TV.
Yeah, and one of the guys.
And the guy's like, where's the
clippers?
Yeah, the clippers. And then he comes back and he's got these huge secateurs. And then he cuts it, and while she's watching something on TV, it's not necessarily reality TV show, but that's what's good to escape to at the moment, you know? So reality. She's watching that and he's shouting at every snip. And then when he's done, you know, he's a bloody mess.
Yep.
She says, "Oh, could you pass them to me? I need to do mine."
Yeah.
You know.
Beautiful.
And yeah, I think.
Do you do it over a bin? Do you do it, or do you just let them fall on the ground and then think you'll get them next time you vacuum?
Yeah, I do it into the sink.
That's really interesting. I've never seen anybody else do that.
But yeah, I know.
I guess it's not something you see people do. It's one of the private things that everyone has their own.
Well, anybody that I've seen do it on public transport, they didn't bring a sink with them.
I haven't seen many people do it on public transport. It's a pretty out there thing to bring into the public domain.
I think I've done it into a plastic bag as well.
Yeah, I've seen you do that, I think. Yeah, absolutely.
But I've also just done it into the open, you know, into the open living room, you know, when I'm back in the day.
I don't chew my fingernails, but I do clip my fingernails over my open mouth. I lean back and look at the ceiling. Open my mouth wide and then clip my fingernails into it. Let them fall down to the back of my throat. Swallow them whole and dry.
The way that the vital hand, I think, can work. Right? And I get that it's not super fun yet, but is that you could have, like, I know you said some pump from a thing, but you know how, have you ever heard of the idea of like somebody's heart being replaced by a motor?
Yes, I have. I think that might even have happened to some people, right? Like,
really?
For real. I think there might be people with artificial hearts.
Yeah, right. And they don't beat, but they just have a constant whir.
They just whir. They just hum.
And so they don't beat, And the idea that maybe for some reason you couldn't put it in the chest and you just put it inside their hand, in the palm of their hand, under the skin there.
Oh, yeah.
And so then, with tubes, you know, going in and stuff like that. And so then suddenly they've got a vital hand. Oh, man, I can't make this work.
Baby, you make my heart go...
Is that what you would do when you run? I guess you would have to, like, increase...
The rate.
That's when you stop running quite as fast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So you can never handle that, like, sprint for as long. All right, vital hands out. Maybe the episode could still be called Vital Hand.
Okay. It'll live on as the name of the episode, Vital Hand. It did occur to me that the clipping your fingers, it does sound like a pruning sort of thing that you'd have to do at a certain time of year. So like in this universe, there'd almost be like a Gardening Australia type show, but it's entirely for managing the growth of your body. I guess this is the kind of a universe where animals grow more like trees and the human body is a sort of an organism of variable form, like trees, where it can be shaped and sculpted in that way, and you know it is done through selective pruning, and sort of wiring and making it grow into certain shapes that are considered desirable. So I guess this is alternative to diet and exercise. We don't have that system anymore. What we have is, you know, favorable sunlight, an effective use of a trellis. That sort of thing.
A trellis.
A trellis. You know, you strap yourself to a trellis at night with those little wire ties that you use when you're training a fruit tree.
Yeah, right. So it's basically a bonsai.
The bonsai body.
The bonsai body. I mean, I guess if you could sort of... This idea that you could sort of just put yourself in a mold every night so that you could get the body shape that you want.
Very interesting. Mm. I'm sure there are people who have tried that. I think it might even be possible if you were prepared to have some sort of, you know, jelly crystal injection. No, if you had enough gelatin injected into your veins, possibly from fingernail clippings that you've been collecting in a bag, and then you, you have them liquefied.
A bag that you hold with your vital hand?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, how would life be different if your hands were vital, you know?
Ah,
because like suddenly you're chopping vegetables, right? And then you cut your hand a little bit, and this hand is vital.
so you go straight
to the hospital because you're going. You're having a hand attack, basically.
And do you drive yourself to the hospital? And
I think you. You'd need I think you could die. You might be dying.
Mm, no, of course.
Get an infection in something vital.
Oh, you got an infection as well.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe you're cutting bacteria for dinner.
Yeah. Oh, one of those huge single-celled organism that you're just carving up on the
Isn't an egg a single cell?
It is, yeah, like an ostrich egg. That's one cell. I still haven't got my head around that exactly how that works, but I think that's true.
Feels like it would be made up of lots of cells, doesn't it?
Yeah, but I guess it can't be because that would interfere with the growth of the organism, which has to germinate from a single cell.
Mm.
That's just how
that first split would be great to watch.
But I mean, imagine if you could get an E. coli, you know, like a fist-sized E. coli bacteria that you could just
and eat it.
You could eat it.
You could just fry it like an egg.
I think that, and also I don't think that would be bad for you in any way. Like it could be a really toxic bacteria. But once it's at that size, if you you chop it, kill it, crack it, whatever it is that you do, it's not going to hurt you because it doesn't have any functional units that are smaller than itself.
Yeah, we could get jumbo bacteria.
Like salmonella, right?
Yeah.
Bad
Eating
if it's
one
tiny.
One salmonella is great.
But one salmonella, one, meal-sized salmonella, Could be the way forward. Could be the way forward. I can imagine a vending machine, you know, where you just want something fresh. Mm. And you feel bad about eating, you know, whatever. You could go up there and it's just tubes full of bacterium, enormous bacterium, and they flop out squishy onto a
mega bacteria.
Mega bacteria.
I feel like it's a direction we could go, because what are we going to eat when, you know, the plants can no longer be pollinated? Mm. And yes. Cows are all dead, and all the tofu trees have died.
Shriveled up.
Then, basically,
when are we
going to
domesticate?
We need something that we can grow in vats.
We've made everything else grow way bigger than it was ever supposed to.
Yeah.
Surely we can do this.
Yeah. And so, because, I mean, you could picture that maybe their textures would actually be pretty good.
Oh, I absolutely am. Yeah. Like quite a jelly-like kind of thing. But I think you cook them and they would go hard like an egg.
Mm.
It's sounding really good to me.
Yeah. Now, and you can already see the news report. Now you might think that going to a restaurant and being served salmonella would be a bad thing.
Yeah. But
this new place is
hoping to change all that.
Yeah, well, salmonella it's been quite hard getting it past the health inspector, but explaining that we're only cooking one salmonella per dish, and that it's not breeding in your body and causing diarrhea.
Mm.
Yeah, it's been hard to get across.
We did have one period where we were shut down by the health department, but that was because some E. coli had got onto the salmonella.
Yes.
But that happened at the packing plant, and it was little E. coli, regular size. Anyway.
Now, is there a way in which we can take this to the next level where somebody makes some giant, like E. coli or salmonella, their boyfriend or girlfriend?
Mm.
Okay. Because they keep growing it even bigger.
Yes.
Right? They keep growing it even bigger. And then somebody kind of starts to like it and say that they have humanity or they have got, you know, personalities and things like that.
And then they want to have a sexual relationship with it. Right?
Well, yeah. Of course that's going to happen.
And I guess their friends would be worried about this?
I guess so.
Because, you know, you're like, well, he's not actually interested in you. Like, you know, in reality, it's just a giant bacterium that wants to feast on your living flesh. The only reason it can't is because it's too big to get, you know, into your circulatory system or whatever it is.
That's right. You know. Yeah. And then, but then he's like, well, I was listening to what you had to say, but then it split and offered me twins.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's sort of like a Twilight movie, but Edward is an enormous bacterium.
Yeah. Right? But then I think maybe they grow them even bigger. I mean, I haven't seen Twilight at all.
No, me neither. No.
But he
was a vampire who you'd traditionally think of as wanting to prey on humans. But then he's given a sort of a sympathetic, will they, won't they kind of love story with Bella? Don't know. Haven't seen it.
Hadid. Hajib.
Bella. Hadid.
Cook and girlfriend.
Mm.
And I think you could keep making them even bigger. And then suddenly you could have one, say, as a raft, and you could have one that maybe you could live inside of. You know, bacteria have ways of evolving that allow, like, parallel evolution, or maybe it's not parallel evolution, but where you can grab genes from other creatures, other bacterium, and take some of their little fancy tricks, right? Some of them are, you know, an advantage. Some of them will be a disadvantage because it might just add weight to you and then you move a bit too slowly, right? But what about this idea where they can just get a whole human inside them? What kind of function would that add to their existence? Well,
you know, the mitochondria.
What if a person was in there running?
Yes,
running, and they and the sort of the outer skin of the bacteria kind of flopped around them like that, and you kind of used them like a hamster ball,
like a zorb. Yeah, basically.
Like a, I don't think you can run inside those zorbs.
Can't run in a zorb?
No, I think it's mostly just for being rolled downhill.
I think you can walk around in a zorb. And if you can walk, you can run. I'm going to look up zorbs.
Okay.
I looked up artificial hearts before. They're definitely a thing that exists.
Okay, that's
cool. I don't know if anyone has them in their hand, though.
Vital hand.
Oh, these people look like they're just rolling around. Oh, no, this person's running.
Yeah?
Yep. You can run in a zorb.
I didn't know there was that much space in there.
No, sorry. Yeah, they're big. They're not like... It's definitely...
I know, I thought you had to, like... It couldn't be that big so that you couldn't flop around so much and get that much, like, speed inside there. Like, you know, like as you're being banged against each wall.
Well, I think they just deliberately don't put you in a scenario where you're going to roll out of control at
I think they roll
speed.
You down mountains.
All right, Alistair.
Like, well, I mean, like...
No, this is it. This is the disagreement that's going to end the podcast.
Be cool. I mean, to be in a big sphere like that allows you to walk on water?
I think it will be... Oh, yeah, does it?
You think Jesus was in a zorb?
That's really cool.
It was a technicality.
Yeah. Yeah, Jesus was in a zorb. I wonder if that can be used to explain any of his other miracles. I mean, you know, the turning over the tables of the moneylenders in the temple.
Mm.
You know, maybe his zorb was just out of control.
Well, it's actually really difficult not to knock over tables
exactly.
when you're in a zorb.
It shouldn't be interpreted as a political statement in any way.
Yeah, he actually knocked over his mom's table as well when he was visiting her.
Yeah. The Church of the Zorb Christ, Alistair, is a very valid sketch, I think. And, you know, is he ever depicted as sort of being in a glowing ball of some of light? Probably. Seems like something Christ would do.
Yeah. And maybe that's why he resisted the temptations of the devil, the devil tempting him because he couldn't actually give in because he was inside a zorb.
Yeah.
And so whatever he was offering him, he goes, oh, the entrance way, I don't know how to use that.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm always in this zorb. And I just pee out the hole, the little hole.
You don't think that Satan could have offered him any temptations through the hole?
Well, it's pretty limited, isn't it?
Mm.
Ones that kind of ruin his sort of godly credibility.
Which he would have had a lot of, by the way, as a guy who rolls around in a big ball and pees through a hole.
Well, you got to understand at the time that they hadn't...
Yeah, you're right.
They hadn't synthesized those sort of hydrocarbon-based materials.
Mm.
And so this was actually, you know, indistinguishable from magic.
Yeah. And I think that would have added a lot to his mystique. You know, you don't see him all that clearly through the haze, and whenever he leaves, he just leaves a mysterious golden trail. He's constantly urinating.
Yeah, and that would explain why he had a big beard and long hair. It's just, you know, it's just that he was probably a backpacker.
Yes.
And he couldn't get out of the zorb, and so he couldn't shave or cut his hair. But how he kept that robe white, I do not know.
Magic.
I guess it's from very,
God.
Very strategic pooping and peeing through that hole. Really, his greatest miracle was how he peed and pooed through that hole without getting any inside the zorb.
I'm looking forward to when we discover this relevant testament in the Dead Sea Scrolls, in some other sea scrolls. How many sketch ideas are we talking, Alistair?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I think it's 6. So I guess, Andy, we could go to this next section of the pod, which I don't know if you've heard about this, but we get 3 words from a listener, right? Now, the only listeners that can send us 3 words are ones who've joined our Patreon for the $3 thing. And this listener is Yannick Roush.
Yannick, or
Yannick Roush. But I'm going to just guess Roush.
Yannick.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing names we have on the show. Just a great name.
Absolutely. I went to school, to primary school, with some Yannicks, but that was a French thing. Yannick. You know, right. Yannick.
But, there you go.
Now, Andy, do you want to try to guess what one of the words is?
Kleptomania?
No, Andy.
No.
It's dandruff.
Okay. Lungs?
Do you want to... What?
Lungs?
No, Andy. Based.
Rumpelstiltskin?
No, Andy. Economy.
There you go. Dandruff-based economy.
Great words, Yannick.
I mean, this suggests to be immediately is a kind of economy where you're born with all the diseases, right? So you come into the world with all the diseases, and instead of paying for things with money, it's an economy where we exchange the cure for various diseases, or we cure people of diseases. You know what I'm saying? So you wouldn't earn $50, but you can get 1 tier 3 disease removed from your body. And
maybe we all live in a cesspit.
Yes, we are born into a cesspit. And you're instantly dunked in all the plagues of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And then somehow you continue to live. None of them are fatal. That's the key. None of them are
but
fatal.
But they're all debilitating.
Well, it's all... I mean, maybe they are all of the level of dandruff. They're all more a sort of a malaise, you know? And they pervade the body.
It's not that far from, you know, from regular society where, you know, the more upper echelons you grow, the more likely it is that you can just be easily beautiful with nice skin and have, you know, an easy life where you're not as itchy. I mean, when you think of the rich, do you ever picture a rich person being itchy?
Itchy Richie is not a thing.
I don't think I've ever pictured Elon Musk scratching himself.
Itchy Rich, that show, that movie. I mean, is there a reality show that is...
how itchy are the rich?
It's sort of like I'm a celebrity, get me out of here. But we just
vital hand
get in celebrities, and we don't put them in a jungle or anything like that. We just make them really itchy.
It's called Itchy Richie.
We don't put them in the jungle to put them through discomfort. We just give them irritating diseases, right? we give them some sort of like inflamed pimple and some sort of scratching lice, pubic lice, and you know these kinds of things.
I mean, it's like that thing that they made for the Australian Amazon, the LOL, laugh out loud. But it's 10 celebrities go into a house for 12 hours, And the we first make them one increasingly to scratch. Itchy, and you're not allowed to scratch yourself.
And it's called Itch to Be Rich.
Yeah, or Itchy Richie.
Yeah, Itchy Richie. Okay, sure. Itchy Rich. Yeah. And we get Macaulay Culkin to host it. It seems like the sort of thing that he would do.
It'd be great for him to sort of revisit his... What is it?
His Richie Rich.
Character called? Richie Rich. Character. Do you think he'd be doing the thing as... Richie Rich?
Yeah, I think he would.
Is it going to be called Richie Itch?
It's the Richie Itch. I mean, Itchy Rich, Richie Itch. Either of them works.
Yeah, and Itchy Rich.
He's used his Richie Rich millions, all the money that his family had, to set up this macabre social experiment. And I guess there's money that goes to maybe charity. At the end, or maybe the last person to scratch is just allowed to leave with their life. I think
if it went towards research for psoriasis or
lovely,
like a skin condition of the celebrity's choosing, you know. We're not doing any permanent itchiness to them.
Not at all.
But, you know, we're tickling them. There's lots of tickly stuff in there. There's mosquitoes.
Oh, God. There are fleas.
Fleas. You know, I mean, we will sort of.
Oh, their clothes are like kind of like just that scratchy, a little bit sweaty, a little bit scratchy.
They're sort of sacks.
Yeah, hessian.
Yeah, but minimum. Like, you know, they're sleeveless.
Sure.
They're sort of like
leave
those,
more
you know,
access
with like
for the mosquitoes.
Short, you know, like they're shorts, but it's like a one-piece suit.
Oh, yeah, like, yeah, yeah. Oh, I'm picturing it. I'm picturing this, the hessian all over your body, the figure-hugging hessian onesie. This is a really good idea.
All their hair is really frizzed up, and sometimes they have to go into really small areas. So their hair is like tickling each other. They go, "Get off me with your hair!" Oh, you're driving me crazy. And maybe just hair, like hair from like hairdressers, is just blown
into the vent. Oh, there's
hair
lying around.
They all have to get haircuts. They all get haircuts. They have to give each other haircuts.
I have scratched myself so much during this conversation, by the way. And the soundtrack, like constantly at all times, there's just a little voice going, itchy, 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 scratchy, scratchy.
That's the thing, is that talking about itchiness makes you itchy.
Yep.
Oh, that's good. That's a good show.
Yeah.
I do think, I mean, this economy, I mean, this, there was just, it was just making me think, I mean, if I was just going the literal translation of the words, if you did have a dandruff-based economy, right?
Yeah.
There's this kind of this idea that if, because you keep adding, everybody's producing the money, which is dandruff.
Yeah. So you're worried about inflation?
Well, I think there would be unbelievable inflation. And so then to think that, like, suddenly it's you wouldn't be able to survive just off the dandruff that you produced yourself naturally.
Pretty soon, your dandruff is worth nothing. You're like, oh, no.
But then you would have to sort of, like, start farming skin, either from yourself by sort of shaving off more or by getting animals and... making their skin dry, and I guess a hairy animal, that's a, they're kind of more productive because their whole body is kind of is a hairy
right.
head,
yeah,
you know, and so you can get more dandruff from them. Does any other part of the body create dandruff? It's just the head, right?
It's, you know, to to my understanding, yes. I mean, maybe you could cultivate it in other areas of the body if you treated it wrongly in the right ways.
Like, are people with super hairy arms, do they get arm dandruff? Or is it just because...
I think sometimes I have, like, sort of flaky skin in my eyebrows. I don't know if that's anything.
No, yeah. And I think I've seen some flaky skin in people's beards and mustaches.
Yeah. It's a bit yuck, isn't it? But that's probably natural dead skin that was going to fall off anyway. And then it's just become trapped. No. Oh, not enjoying this at all.
Is there a sketch idea in this?
Little baggies of white powder that turns out to be dandruff. That's all I got. Smuggling it in bricks out of Colombia.
I think you could teach people about the economy through the prism of dandruff.
Okay.
Like, what if suddenly dandruff became the most valuable thing for some reason?
Mm.
And then everybody, it's like we all struck gold.
Mm.
But then the more dandruff that people collect, the lower the price for it goes.
What gold? Yeah, I mean, I think it's a pretty limited lesson you could teach about the economy, right? It's hyperinflation. That's about it. But that could be a lesson. Maybe that's valuable.
I'm
going to
write it down.
Okay, Al.
Dandruff. I think there's a lot in there. I think even a hyperinflation teaches you a lot of ideas about the economy. Based gold rush and inflation. Great. Well, Andy, I guess I better take us through the sketch ideas.
Okay.
Assuming you're still there.
I'm here.
Well, we've got the body as a temple, and the point of yoga is to get that light alignment so it can pass through you. Something like that. I don't know. Then we got Lara Croft Hobo, where she... This is... You may understand this one better than I do.
But it's Lara Croft, but instead of stealing expensive things from tombs, she's stealing worthless stuff from bins, Al. It's not that complicated.
Yeah, great. Yeah. That's good. And then there's fingers trimmed like fingernails. So it's like the guy's like, hey, like I'm on like 5 knuckles per finger now. I got to cut my fingers.
I've really let these things
fingers.
Go.
Where's the clippers? Yeah, I've been letting these go. It's like, and now people at work are looking at me weird. So. And then, there's that. And then there's the fingernail clipping straight into your mouth. That's somebody who maybe used to have a nail chewing problem, but then
they overcame it. You wrote that down.
Because I think it is a funny idea.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. No, I've stopped chewing my nails, which is a gross habit, and so now I've just started clipping my fingernails straight into my mouth.
Great.
And we've got Mega Bacterium, which is, first they're at a restaurant, but then they've kept growing them and they eventually become girlfriends and then possibly vehicles and then maybe places of residence. Or maybe just a new evolution of man.
An E. coli as big as a cauliflower. An E. coli flower, if you will. E. coli.
Call bacterium... you say man and beast. Would you say a bacterium is a beast?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah?
These ones I would. Great. Yeah.
And then we got Jesus was in a Zorb, which explains a lot of things, his miracles. I think.
Mostly the walking on water.
Mostly the walking on water.
We'll work on some
other tables.
Which I don't think the knocking over the tables is ever really put down as one of the major miracles. But to me, it's quite something. I mean, what kind of tables are they? We don't know.
Do you think you might be picturing
card tables, but they could have been really big tables, really heavy.
And he picked up quite a bit of speed going downhill. And then Something else. Oh, yeah. You know, imagine he could cure a leper. Turns out that it was actually just like a spinal thing.
Mm.
And he just kind of rolled over him.
Yeah.
And it just kind of just, it was like, oh, that's got the spot.
He wasn't a leper. He just had a spinal thing. It wasn't that his fingers and toes had fallen off. It was a spinal thing.
I know. Well, turns out it was the spine was cutting off the blood. It was a compressed disc that was cutting off the blood to his hands.
And as soon as that was fixed,
which weren't vital, they grew
back.
At the time.
They grew back straight away.
They all grew back. He actually activated that gene that, you know, that sort of salamander gene that we have in our liver that allows it to regenerate. But he activated it in his hands.
Vital
then we
hands.
Got Itchy Rich Reality Show.
Such a good idea.
Which is a great idea. I think, you know, it took us a lot of the episode to really warm up, I think. And then the dandruff-based Gold Rush and...
the associated lessons thereof.
The associated lessons, yeah.
The learnings.
So beautiful.
Thank you so much for listening to Two in the Think Tank. God, we appreciate it.
Gosh, so much.
I've been Andy, he's been Alistair, and you can follow us on Twitter. Oh, I'm at Stupid Old Andy.
And I'm at Alistair TB, and we're at Two in Tank. You can follow us on Instagram at Two and Tank. You can follow me at A Trombley Virtual on Instagram. You can join our Patreon. It really helps, and it's very kind. And there's so much content on there now. You can also review us if you like, and you can write Andy a letter.
Yeah. and we were on the Podspotter podcast recently. I'll try and remember to put a link to that down below. They interview people about their podcasts, and we talked about ours, and I think it was funny.
Yeah, I think it was really fun and fun-y. So thank you very much for listening, and we
love
you.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. It's not optional, you have to do it. We used to go easy on it, but now you have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.